Welcome to Bethel Cleveland's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy today's message. For more information on this podcast or how to get connected, go to BethelCleveland.com.
Thank you very much. And while you're giving there, let me just get into something here that I wanted to just read before I get to the scripture. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2 here in a few minutes. But the resurrection story, the story of Christ is a love story. It's a love story, and I've really been affected by a book over the years, over a dozen years now, by Robert Wilkin called The Spirit of Early Christian Thought. I read it over and over again. I talk about it often, and because I get fresh insights out of it every time I read it. But in the book, he talks about this. Just listen to this closely. The church gave men and women a new love, Jesus Christ, a person who inspired their actions, held their affections. This was a love unlike others. For it was not only Jesus that he was a wise teacher or a compassionate human being who reached out to the sick and the needy, or even that he patiently suffered abuse and died a cruel death, but that after his death, God raised him from the dead to new life. He who was once dead now lives. The resurrection of Jesus is the central fact of Christian devotion and the grounds of all Christian thinking. The resurrection was not just a solitary occurrence, a prodigious miracle, but an event within the framework of Jewish history. And it brought into being, this is interesting, not only the resurrection of Christ, which was so great, but it brought into being a new community, the church. Christianity enters history not only as a message, but also as a communal life, a society or a city whose disciplines and practices, rituals and creeds, institutions and traditions were the setting for Christian thinking because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, now come in glory. I love the word that was used many times in the 70s in the church and the revival that was happening then. It was Maranatha, which means, Lord, come quickly. I don't know about you, but I have days where I think, Lord, come quickly. We really need you here. So open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to touch on Ephesians 5, but it's short enough that you don't need to turn there. I'll just refer to it, and then we'll go over to Colossians 2. I want to talk about the awakening of resurrection. Resurrection of Jesus Christ was the greatest awakening in human history. I mean, even when he rose from the dead and was walking around for, what was it, 40 days, as he was walking around, they claimed that up to 500 people were raised from the dead. Like he just couldn't help himself. He was died, buried, resurrected, moving in the power here on earth. It's an illustration. As we enter into the death, burial, and resurrection, affectionately known as the DBR, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Scripture says over and over again, when Christ died, we died with him. When Christ rose, we rose with him. When Christ ascended, it says in Ephesians, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, we rose with him and sat down at the right hand of the Father. So there's this awakening that came that is offered to all generations throughout all of creation in all time. But it is engaged by faith. Somewhere in a moment of an awakening, and by the way, everyone here has had it in one way or another. You know, the scripture talks about being born again. We use that phrase. It's not quite accurate. The exact phrase is translated born from above. You were born from heaven. There's a power that is marked upon you in Jesus Christ. You may have been born imperfect in your first birth, but in your second birth, you were born as those that God recognizes, just like he recognizes Jesus, because you have aligned yourself in his death, burial, and resurrection. So when you agree in faith and say, I want to be a Jesus follower, I want to follow Jesus, you're engaging in a moment that's going to open up an awakening throughout your entire life. Some theologians say, and I believe this, that when Jesus rose from the dead, it immediately awakened the entire earth. All over the planet, people were thinking different. It was like an opportunity was offered to them to think beyond themselves, to think beyond and dream about what if God did this, or what is there a God? Is he real? It opened up the passageway for disciples to go all over the world, filled on the day of Pentecost, which we will celebrate close to 50 days from now. We'll celebrate together. It's been totally linked with Easter all throughout Christian history for 2,000 years. It's resurrection, Pentecost. Resurrection, Pentecost. Resurrection where Jesus rose, walked among people, ascended into heaven. And then the 10 days of waiting in Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came in power and the church was birthed and set on fire to go all throughout the world. And all the disciples except one, which Jesus prophesied, passed away by martyrdom. These were people that followed the example of Jesus Christ by laying down their very lives and seeing nations being touched and reaped for the kingdom of heaven. It started shaping and changing the whole Western world. Ultimately, it brought about the collapse of the Roman Empire. But the Christian message, the Judeo-Christian understanding was woven deeply into the understanding of Western culture as it was being birthed. Someone really intelligent that Cindy and I listened to a podcast said recently that we are, without knowing it, we are all swimming in the waters of Judeo-Christian understanding. Even people that do not accept it or understand it. The freedoms that we hold, the way that we run our country, generally speaking, the way it was founded, is it totally a Christian nation? No. Will it ever be a Christian nation? No. Is it founded on Christian principles? Yes, for the most part. But it's up to us to understand and operate in those. So the effect of the resurrection was powerful enough to change history. And actually, we are swimming in the power of the resurrection right now. The freedoms you feel, the aspect of not being, the fact that you can have people that are confined worldwide because of the message of Jesus Christ, yet still feel free, is a powerful thing. The fact that there's entire nations that are held by oligarchs and people that are punishing and anything that smacks of Christianity, even at times in our own nation. We're on Easter celebration this weekend. At the White House, they weren't allowed to do any drawings or any paintings that resembled anything related to religion, just to keep the peace. And, you know, it's a small thing, but you think, wow, we're drifting. We're drifting. We need the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even in our entire nation. We need it to touch. It's going to take people, firebrands that have been lit by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that go around and begin to speak out and begin to declare that Jesus is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And America's known for that. That's why so many people come here from all over the world. They want the same freedom that we have. So we were blessed. We're swimming in the waters of what Jesus did. We've been touched by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have responsibility for not only our own lives, but our family and for those that are around us to be like Jesus, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So Ephesians 5 says this. You've got to understand the moment going back to the resurrection of Jesus. The moment when Jesus was brutally beaten and it was obvious that he was heading toward the end of his life, even though they may not have known that right away. But in the hours after the Last Supper when they were praying in the garden and they came and Jesus was arrested, it was a puzzling time. That's why Peter drew his sword and cut the ear off of a guard that was there. Because he was prompted in his heart the way that he thought he had heard Jesus, that this is the time for a revolution and blood needs to be shed. And Jesus quickly told him to put his sword away. It's interesting, he was carrying one to begin with. Put his sword away. Jesus reached down, put the ear on the man's head and healed him. That's the Jesus that we know. And so everyone was stunned by this whole thing. Jesus has been arrested. Then all of a sudden he gets in a trial, a kangaroo trial of sorts, and ends up being condemned by the people that just a few days before they had a great service. As he came into Jerusalem, everyone was yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. Jesus is here, the Messiah is here, very excited. The same people that were yelling that 5 days later yelled, crucify him, crucify him. That's human nature. That's how it works. And so the disciples are going through trauma because they have had it in their head, even in recent days prior to the crucifixion, that this is going to be a physical insurrection, a physical revolution that's going to start. Even when the Roman guards came, they probably thought like Peter, all right, this is our moment. We need to rise up to this moment. They didn't understand a spiritual battle was going on. And the world was about to change in radical ways because of Jesus Christ. So they watched him die on the cross. Many of them fled north, especially the Galileans. They fled north into the areas that they had been. They went back to the work that they were used to. We find out later on in John chapter 21 that Jesus finds Peter up in Galilee fishing, kind of given back up, gone back to his old job, you know, stunned. How did this was not what we imagined this would be. I don't know how you are, but I know in my mind, my life, I've had those moments where you think God's going to do this. He's going to heal this person, or he's going to touch this situation, and it doesn't quite happen the way that we want it to happen. It's distressing. A lot of people lose their faith over that. The Bible even talks about when Jesus says that he spreads seeds all over, but if the soul gets closed up, if the heart gets closed up, and the seed comes of life, it will not take root there because the heart has grown hard. But where the seed finds a broken and contrite heart, there it bears great fruit. And the same is for all of us. We keep our hearts open. There's a lot of things I just got through. I was joking about it in the early service, but as a church, we're reading through the whole Bible. And we just got through Leviticus and Numbers. We're in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy's looking up in Deuteronomy. Leviticus and Numbers was it's grueling. I mean, there's a lot of great things you can learn in there. I'm not saying it isn't, but of all places in the Bible, we spent a month, pretty much all of February and part of March, through Leviticus and Numbers. And it's a challenge. You're hearing about all the things not to do, to do, and everything else. And like I've said for several weeks now, I said the big thing I get out of Leviticus is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to live in the constant concerns that everything we do is, you know, it's wrong before it's right. So whatever we do, it's probably wrong. And the constant condemnation that you would feel, some of you were raised that way, you know, in a constant condemnation. It's hard to shake. It's hard to get off. But in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, that is erased. You know, it says in Ephesians 5, it says, now remember, they're writing this years later. Paul the Apostle is writing this. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. They believe later on this was a creed in the first century. I believe they used it to get their teenagers out of bed. Awake, you who sleep. Rise from the dead. Christ will give you light. My dad did some form of that when I was young, you know. He would whistle, you know, it's a beautiful day. Get up. I was so aggravated about that. I slept in 10 years after I left home. Now I get up and whistle with him. You know, he's not here anymore, but I've taken it on. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It's something in the entire first century. They would go around and confess to one another. Awake, you who sleep. And it'd be like a prompting, like, yes, yes. Because in the Greek, it's interesting, there's two words that are used somewhat interchangeably that mean resurrection. The biggest one that's used is anastasis, which means to stand up. So someone who's resurrected stands up. Lazarus stood up. Some theologians believe that he floated out of the grave because he was down in a grave that was down underground. He was wrapped in all the linens, and they had to actually take the linens off of him so he was not able to move. He floated up out of that grave as a resurrected one. Jesus, when he showed up at the morning time of Lazarus' death, was approached by Martha, who was really upset that he was late. You know, Jesus is the only one in the world that can be late and be on time at the same time. Because he says he's out of time. He lives out of time and out of space. And he makes a statement that is such. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, there's that. I mean, it doesn't matter what happened before. Jesus is here now. Something's going to happen because he conquered death. He is the one that resurrected from the dead. And so that power is so powerful that they continue to confess it. Awake, you who sleep. So when they say sleep and when they say awake, they're referring to resurrection. They're not waking them up out of a bed. In fact, Jesus and all the apostles talk about that when someone dies, it's as if they fall asleep. We are referred to as Christians, as those who will sleep someday. Even if you take communion, they were instructing in Corinthians that if you take communion in a wrong way with a wrong heart, that some have fallen asleep. It's euphemistically talking about death. And so when you read in Ephesians 5, awake you who sleep, it's awake those who have been dead, arise from the dead, it's a reiteration right there, and Christ will give you light. That is the power of the resurrection. There's light on the other side of resurrection. Now, why does this apply to us? Because we are with Christ in this resurrection. We are purveyors of resurrection. We take resurrection into places that need to be resurrected. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of places out there that need the power of resurrection. The Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body. You know what that means? That's not just about physical healing. That is also about your mind, that your mind can be quickened to think differently than what you think. Did you know, as I study through Scripture and I study about Jesus Christ, things open up in my mind. Actually, this morning, during worship, this is horrible, but I'll tell you. During worship, you know, I'm worshiping, thinking about the service, everything else. And it came into my mind that we need to build a several-tiered parking lot here on the property. You know, I've been stressed about this, like, Lord, we only have 21 acres. What if we run out of property for parking? It's a big deal nowadays. In the 1950s, it was like 5 people per car. Now you're lucky to get 1 person per car. Once these auto-driven cars get into shape, they may come to church and the people that own them don't. I don't know, but I saw one in San Francisco. We pulled up next to one. I was like, oh my gosh, there's no one in that car over there. And I felt a vibe from it, like, hey, how you doing? It was that kind of thing. It was right there. And then it took off, and I thought, no one's driving that car. And they said, oh yeah, they're all over San Francisco. And I thought, I'm not moving to San Francisco until I hear how that all turns out. So wake you sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He is the one that brings revelation. He brings understanding. There's so many areas in our lives where we need awakening. And I want to tell you that the resurrection was once and for all. That resurrection still is in effect today to change every one of our lives. You come across a situation that you don't know what to do, I'm telling you, confess this. Focus on Jesus Christ. The Bible says when you look at the Lord, that it's the presence of God. There's a transformation from looking to the Lord like we did in worship today that actually transforms who you are. It conforms you toward the image of Christ. And so every time I run into trouble, I'm like, oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We need help on this. We need more parking. We need more building now, you know. We need more, more, more. And he's there, you know, his resurrection power is there to bring light, to bring understanding in whatever you're facing right now. Turn with me to Colossians 1, 1 and then 2. I'm going to read through this. Colossians 1 verse 21 says this. Now, this is about you. It starts off in verse 21, and you, everyone say me. Now, that's you. I know it's confusing, but this you is you. You is me, and me is you. Who once were alienated, or that's all of us, enemies in your mind by your wicked works. I mean, I know some of you are probably like, well, I mean, I don't know if I'd say wicked, but, you know, it was, I did some bad stuff in my day, you know, kind of a deal. Well, the Lord sees it as wicked works because really all sin is sin. You can't, there's no better sin. There's just sin. And so, yet now, he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach. What's it say after that? In his sight. So it may not be in your sight, may not be in those that see you right away, but I'm telling you, when God looks down upon you because of the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, his resurrection has reconciled you in the body of the flesh through death to present you holy. Everyone say, I am holy. It's hard to say, isn't it? I am holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. When God looks down and you've done your worst sin, I'm telling you, he still sees you through Jesus Christ. If we could only see in that way, we would be so much quicker to get out of the situation that we're in and understand that he sees something that I don't see. Now, I know if you're married to somebody, you can say, well, I don't know, you know. Maybe not in the Lord's sight, but I sure see it. And so your husband, if you're upset at him, you better watch, because he might say, Jesus says I'm holy. Jesus says I'm blameless. Jesus says I'm above reproach. And your wife's going to say, Jesus is not here right now. I am. But we're learning. We're growing. We're growing how to see one another as Jesus sees them. I just got invited from a national business. They invited me to speak at their thing in North Carolina this fall. And I, it's not, you can't take Christianity there, but the topic that's being entertained right now is speaking in ways to build up other people, which is like my thing, you know. But I'm thinking, how am I going to communicate that without using scripture? And he said, well, you can tell me you're a minister and all that, but just, you know, we just want, you know, you're just trying to encourage. So I'm in a place right now realizing the only way truly to see people for who they really are is through the eyes of Jesus. I mean, I can believe good in you. I believe that you're kind. I can see your actions and say that you're a gentle person, that you're good around children. I can speak those things, and that's encouraging. Because do you know that all encouragement is kind of based in speaking truth and speaking kindness, which is the way love is defined in Scripture. So when you encourage someone, you're actually doing a godly thing. You know, you literally, it means putting courage into somebody. You encourage them. You put that courage in so that they can fight. When you discourage, you take courage out of them. And so in God, God is all about kindness, joy, peace, and love. So we were alienated from that before Christ. Now in Christ, he presents us holy. He refers in the Old Testament to the priests of which we are. Did you know you're a priest? You're a priest in Christ? It says in the Old Testament, they had all these various garments that the priests would wear, but on the turban that was on their head, it had a little plaque there that said, holy to the Lord. That now is you. You are holy to the Lord. Some of you go your whole life without seeing yourself that way. Once you see yourself that way and you declare, I am holy, I am blameless, I'm above reproach, obviously you get flooded with all the ways that you're not that, because that's the way your mind works. But you are training your mind because of the resurrection. There's power for you to actually be that. There's power for you to become a person that through the death of Jesus Christ walks holy before God. I know we're not perfect on this side of heaven, but let's come as close as we can. Holy, blameless, above reproach, in his sight. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, that's our responsibility. Once we believe in the resurrection power of Christ that raised us from the dead, we were once dead to our sins. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. That's the pay for death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if we continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which I preach to you now. So there's the hope of the gospel is coming forth, and we are not going to be moved away from that. Now turn the page to Colossians 2. Let me just read this real quick, and I'll finish up. Colossians 2, verses 12 through 15. And by the way, Ephesians mirrors this. We're in Colossians 2 because we're in a series right now from all through Colossians. Next week, we'll probably be in the second part of 2 or 3, but we're going through it. And fortunately, this week is about the resurrection. So Colossians 2 verse 12 says this, buried with him in baptism. That's why baptism is so important. Obviously, baptism, not being baptized will not keep you out of heaven, because the thief on the cross was never baptized. But Jesus was, and you're baptized, buried, it's the burial of Jesus when you go down into the waters, in which also you were raised. So let's look at this, verse 12. Buried with him, you were raised with him through faith. So faith raises you up out of death. Faith raises you up out of despair and depression, always, even after you're saved. You get raised up by the power of the resurrection from the dead. It says in verse 13, and you, that's me, being dead in your trespasses, as uncircumcision of the flesh, he is made alive. Do you know what that verse is in the original language? Animated. You have been animated by the resurrection power of Christ. I don't know about you, I've seen Christians that need animation. Something, a prod or anything, just smile, worship, lift your hands before the Lord, whatever. I was reading an N.T. Wright thing this week where he said Easter should be a massive celebration. He says, and he's an Anglican, he says, unfortunately in the Anglican faith, we've kind of dumbed it all down, and our celebration is a quiet hallelujah, you know, like hallelujah, thank you Lord, I'm celebrating. That's me being very excited, you know. But in charismatic circles, we've kind of opened the doors and said, I love watching these two little girls up front. I don't know how old they were, 2 or 3 years old, something like that. I wish I could have videoed it. They were illustrating probably the way that we should be celebrating Easter. They were dancing wildly. They were jumping. They were worshiping. I don't even know fully if they knew what they were doing, but it inspired me, you know. I jumped a few times too up here in the front. It was an inspiration. But so Resurrection Sunday is a time of great celebration for all that the Lord has done and the power he's given us to live this life. So he made us alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, having wiped out all the handwriting of requirements that was against us. I don't know if you've ever had handwritten requirements for your life in a job description or something like that, or a to-do list or whatever. It can get very frustrating, you know. All these things I need to do. I thought I was going to have the day off. Now I've got 10 items I need to do. You know, all that was, that condemnation you feel in that moment is exactly what you feel before Christ. Once Christ comes in, it's not that there's not things to do. We'll do that. But he erases and wipes out all those requirements that were against us and were contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. So you have entered, when you are born above, you enter into the story of Jesus. You die, you're buried, and you're resurrected. And faith in him brings life and hope, and it wipes out all the judgments against you, even self-judgment, self-hate. I mean, once that's wiped out, you begin to see life. Your world opens up. You hear birds singing. I mean, you see in nature the aspects of what God is doing. You've been awakened. That same word that was used, anastasis, for resurrection, stand up. The other word that's used is where we get our word energy. It both speaks to resurrection, and it's used constantly in the passages I just read. That resurrection is an energy to be awakened, an energy to stand together with Christ. It's something a little bit different, but the same. It's referred to by the Apostle Paul and the other apostles also in the scriptures that they've written, a quickening power, an awakening to overcome these things and begin to walk the life that Jesus' sacrifice actually offers to you. So what does awakening mean? I think initially there was a general awakening when Jesus resurrected. I believe the whole earth experienced it. It was like an earthquake. It was an earthquake, actually, when he died. And many graves were opened, even in his death. Jesus, it's claimed over 500 people that came alive after Jesus rose from the dead. A general waking of mankind. It's believed that globally, everyone had a moment where they were awakened. Maybe they didn't follow Jesus, maybe they didn't know about Jesus, but Jesus turned the entire earth into an awakened place. I remember John 12, it says that, it's talking about when Jesus spoke from heaven, when God spoke from heaven to Jesus. In John 12, it's a great illustration of this. Jesus heard the voice of God, and some others around heard clearly the voice of God. But others that were there, some said it thundered. That's all they heard was like a sound. Others said it was like an angel spoke, whatever that sounds like. It actually was God speaking to Jesus. So some heard, some said it thundered, and some thought it was a voice, but not God, it was an angel. And it's the same way today. There's an awakening coming, and it is happening across our country right now. There are people that are being awakened. I'm shocked at the videos that I get on my feed every day of people that have turned their lives fully to Jesus Christ. I mean, who is it, Cindy? Russell Brand? Yeah, Russell Brand recently has acknowledged Jesus Christ. He's somebody that if you followed his career, this guy has not been a follower of Jesus. But I tell you, something powerful is happening in his life. I don't even know where he is. He may not even fully be there, but he's confessing Jesus Christ. His life has turned around. If you listen to his podcast, you begin to see, wow, Lord, you are affecting people in different places throughout culture. Jordan Peterson, who really gave his life, it appears to be, to the Lord when his wife was suffering from a debilitating disease, no real hope. And the Lord was dealing, a Catholic woman was ministering to his wife, and she just began to kind of believe God. And she asked the Lord to heal her on her birthday. And sure enough, her birthday came. She was bedfast, totally healed, raised up. It affected her world-famous psychologist husband, Jordan Peterson. Now Jordan Peterson is known worldwide for being a guide and speaking. His recent tour that he's on right now is called We Who Wrestle With God. I mean, this guy has been turned around. I've been listening to him for a number of years. From when he wrote his book. I'm just telling you, God is released in culture. I'll tell you who I'm praying about. I'm praying for Elon Musk right now. He's the Thomas Edison of our generation. I'm praying. He is searching. He's coming close. I mean, he is so close. We need to pray that some of these key people that influence and shape understanding worldwide start coming to Jesus. I love in Scripture in the book of Acts, which we will study this summer, in the book of Acts, it always says, and so many came to the Lord, as well as priests and people in high regard or high positions. God wants to move among the lowly, among the poor, the broken, all of us, but he is also going after reformation. He wants to change the way that nations think. He wants just not the individuals. He loves the individuals. But in the Bible, typically, he speaks of tribes. He speaks of nations. He wants nations to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And America needs an awakening right now. One final thing is Thomas, what we call Doubting Thomas. You know, after the resurrection, he had not seen Jesus. Everyone else had seen Jesus. Don't you hate it when that happens? You know, I don't go to a conference or I miss a meeting, and that's the one where the Holy Spirit really shows up and great things happen. Oh, you should have been. It was probably the, what do you think, Bob? Was that the best meeting we've ever been in our whole life? Oh, yeah. It was amazing. People were touched in such powerful ways, healings everywhere. You're like, all right. I missed the meeting, you know. Well, he was in that place. And he even told the disciples, he said, I'll believe it when I can feel the scars in his hand and his side. You know, it was a week later, the Bible says, it was a week later that he's in a room with the disciples, Thomas, and Jesus appears in the room without opening the door. It's the thing he did after he resurrected. I can't wait for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But anyway, he comes in and Thomas sees him and Jesus takes his hand and puts it in his hand. It's got, without saying anything, it's kind of like, feel this, Thomas. You could feel the scars that were in his hand. Here, feel this in my side. He fell down and he said, my Lord and my God. After he saw the nail prints in his hand, he was overwhelmed by it. This is a moment. This is a resurrection. This is an awakening. It's all the same. And right now, God, in this day, we'd love to mark this day for you. It was almost 60 years ago. It's 59 years ago. This day that my first big touch from the Holy Spirit. I was only, you know, 10 years old, just not far from here in a church. I laid on the floor of the building for 2 hours as the Holy Spirit, just 10 years old. And I remember kind of being, I understood what was going on and yet I didn't also at the same time. Like I thought I could get up if I wanted to, but I kept feeling just waves of the Holy Spirit. What was happening? A 10-year-old was being awakened. And you know, right now, back there in the ministry to our children, kids are being awakened in the Spirit of God. They are. So I want to make sure that when they go home, they're being awakened around awakened parents that also are understanding, I'm resurrected in Christ. My sins of the past, I do not have to be held back by anymore. I am now declared the righteousness of God. This is Scripture. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand together if we could. Just a minute, Ashley's going to come up and give us a little instruction about our kids because we've got an egg hunt today. We're excited about that. One good thing about the 11 o'clock service, we're not limited by time. You can stay for a while. And love for you to stay, take pictures of your kids, whatever. And let's just hang out together. Thank you for coming today. If you do not have a church home, like I said, this is it. Feel free to become a part of this. But if you're here right now, let me just want to address a couple of things before Ashley comes up. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, we want to pray for you. If I can get a few of our ministry team, four or five on each side here, we want to pray for you. So what will happen is when we dismiss in a few minutes, you can just make your way up here. Don't worry about time. You can stay here as long as you want. And say, you know, I want Jesus. I want to know him. I want to enter into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death is your prayer and your faith. When you say, I choose Jesus, I want to follow him, you have died to self and you're being resurrected into newness of life. That's the way it works according to scripture. So it's that. It's from your bottom of your heart saying, I was lost, I was alienated, I've done horrible things, but I bring it all right now. Jesus, it's already been nailed to your cross, but I just need to see that it's nailed to the cross. And all the things that were written against me have been erased, and now I walk as a new man, a new woman before Jesus Christ. If that's you today, in just a few minutes when I dismiss, you feel free to come up here to the front. We got a little book we'd like to give you. A friend of ours in the first service had her brother here from out of state. He came because of some things going on here in town, and he came up. He had his book in his hand. She introduced him and said, he just gave his life to Jesus Christ in the early service. He was probably in his 50s. And I looked at him, I just thought, that's so exciting. I love it when children come to the Lord. I love it when older people come to the Lord. And I love it when a 90-year-old comes to the Lord. You know, it's just something powerful about that. So if you've never done that, as soon as I dismiss, you can come up here. These folks will be willing to pray for you. I need a few more prayer team over here on my left, please, if we can get them, and a couple on the right. The second part is, those of you who have been believers, you are a believer, you're here on Easter Sunday, of course, you love Jesus. But you still are bound up. You're still facing horrible things in your life, and you've got to challenge it. And you say, in a fresh sense, I need to be resurrected. I need a fresh revelation of who Jesus is in my life. And I want to walk my life out. I love where it says in scriptures that we can walk in powerful faith before God. Through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we will walk victorious in Jesus Christ. It's Romans 5:17. Powerful verse, check it out, because it shows you that immediate transaction that takes place as you rise out of your situation. So how many of you are here? I'm not gonna ask you to come forward, but I do want you to raise your hand. If you're facing a major mountain now where you say, I need a resurrection right now, just raise your hand around the room. I want to pray for you. Raise it up. Keep it raised just a minute so we can pray for you. Those nearby, lay a gentle hand on the shoulder only, right on the shoulder there. Just a gentle hand so they know you're there. Anyone with their hands raised, just look around. Just lay a gentle hand. We want to pray for them before we go. And then Ashley's going to tell us about the egg hunt. Lord Jesus, we pray right now. We know, Lord, what you did 2,000 years ago. Death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, we ask for renewal of that understanding in their lives right now. Just like a revelation, like, aha, yes, God loves me. I forgot who I am. I forgot what I was forgiven from. Right now, I re-up in my spirit and say, Jesus, I believe you, that you see me as a person that is forgiven, that is redeemed, that is reconciled and restored. And we bless that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ashley?
Thank you for listening to our Sermon of the Week. You can help us reach others by investing today at bethelcleveland.com/give.